Thanks, Dave. Good morning. How are you doing? No, I'm not going to tell you what the pencils are for. Let's just get that out of the way. I will in a minute. Are you ready for this? Yeah, I am so excited. As JR said, we are in our last week of this Seeds series we've been doing. We've been hearing stories from all of you about how great it's been to have a message on Sunday and then talk about it midweek. How many of you guys have enjoyed this Seeds series? Yeah. I asked Jason Harris, our community life pastor. We shared some numbers at the beginning of the series, and I wanted to bring those up again because, man, this is just something worth celebrating. So total Seeds groups, 21. Total Seeds groups leaders, 46. 18 first-time leaders. Never led a small group before. Way to go. Way to go. And you guys, that number, total Seed group participants, 184. Out of context, you're like, cool, let me put some context. That is 75% of our Sunday attendance. Amazing. Amazing. So cool. So today I've been jacked for this message for several weeks. It's one of my favorite topics because today we're going to be talking about legacy. And we're going to be hitting the tagline from the series, which is tomorrow starts today. So we've been talking a lot about seeds in this series, and I think it's been serving as a great metaphor. Because how many of you guys knew that there was that many parables about seeds in the Bible? Like if we had a nickel for every time we said seeds, we'd have a lot of nickels. So there's another word, though, that I've been thinking along this series. It speaks to me a little bit more than seeds, kind of saying that word is intention. Because I really love that book, that word. I read a book a couple years ago. It was by a guy named Brendan Burchard, and he says about intentions, he says this. He says, first it's an intention, and then it's a behavior, then it's a habit, then it's a practice, then a second nature, then it's simply who you are. So what this guy is saying is, what starts as an intention or a seed could become who you are. I'm a graphical guy, so I put it in these cute little arrows. What starts as an intention becomes who you are. This has been speaking to me lately, this word intentions, because as many of you know, some of you don't know, I've been an actor for over 20 years, and I started high school, and then through college, and then all the way today. And so one of my favorite roles, get this question from time to time, one of my favorite roles of all time was a role that I got to play last year. And it was the role of Bob Cratchit in The Christmas Carol. And so there are some pictures, and actually our Mrs. Cratchit is here with us today as well. This has been one of my favorite roles, and it was really meaningful because our director, it's the story that you know and love, but he wrote a couple new scenes, so that was last year. So this year, our local theater has never done this before, but this year our local theater has said, you know what, we're going to do it again. Because you only got 5 shows last year. It was an amazing response. We're going to do it again. And they asked the original cast if they wanted to reprieve their roles. So, of course, I was like, oh, my goodness. This is amazing. Of course. Of course I will do this. Well, I didn't want to just call it in. Like, our performance was something last year, but I didn't want to just call it in. And so I thought to myself, I was like, okay, how can I raise this a little bit? How can I make this better? And for that, I went back to some training I got in college, and something that Kim DeLong, who was a theater professor at Carroll at the time, he always used to ask us this question, and he would always get so much grief, but he'd say, Tyler, because he had this deep voice, he said, Tyler, what is your intention in this scene? Very dramatic, as you would expect a theater professor. And so I thought about, what is my intention in The Christmas Carol this year? And that's when it hit me. Tiny Tim. Tiny Tim. Tiny Tim is one of the most important parts of our story. If you haven't read The Christmas Carol, I'm not going to spoil it for you. But he represents hope and the true spirit of Christmas. So as I reflected on the story, I had this thought. I mean, I was out on a walk one day, and I remember where I was when I had this thought, because I literally stopped. And my thought was, where did Tim learn that? If he is the spirit of Christmas, if he is the spirit of hope and joy, where did Tim learn that? Where did he see it modeled? He learned it from his mom and dad. He learned it from his siblings. And so I thought, that's it. That is my intention this year, is to become the model of hope and joy for my son, because he has to learn it somewhere or else the story doesn't work. And so it was just this one small choice, this one small intention that will become what this character is known for, God willing. Something small, repeated, watered over time, kind of like a tree, right? We live in Montana, so we're used to pictures like this. We're used to this beautiful scenery, this beautiful woods, but I think a lot of times we take this for granted because that took a long time to grow. And chances are the people who planted those seeds are not in this room, and they will not listen to this message because they are long gone, chances are. It made me think of the immortal words of the great Ferris Bueller. And you remember him? Actually, I want to do a poll. Who knows who I'm talking about right now when I say Ferris Bueller? Okay, I expected no hands over here. Ferris Bueller once famously said, "Life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it." And I don't know about you, but amen to that. I just feel so relatable to that these days, because we look up and we realize we've been running to a series of meetings or activities, and we've been accomplishing these tasks, we've been checking these off our list, and then one day you add it all up and it's a life, right? Can anybody relate to that? And it goes by really quick. And here's a spoiler. You only get one of these. You only get one of these lives. So this week, I want to close our series by talking about something that we all care about, because the fact is we're inundated with all of these things, all this stuff. And most of the time, we don't think about 30, 40, 50, 60 years down the road. We don't think about tomorrow. We don't think about what we're going to leave behind. And listen, let me just say this. I get it. Some of you are like, "Are you kidding me right now? I need to make it to the end of the month. I don't need to be thinking about legacy." I get it. I've been there. So this morning, that's what I want to do. I want to just take a minute and pause. And even if it's a few moments, let's just put away our calendar. Let's put away the Monday that's approaching us tomorrow. And let's think about legacy. Jesus said in John chapter 12 this. He says, "Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." The reason that we're here today is because somebody had an eye towards tomorrow. God had an eye towards legacy. Jesus had an eye towards legacy. The reason that we are able to be connected to God, what JR was talking about, that veil torn in two, was because of seeds, because of the sacrifice that Jesus made. So as we think about tomorrow and our legacy, here's an interesting exercise for you. Have you ever thought about writing your own eulogy? That got dark, didn't it? If you're not familiar with the term eulogy, to put it really simple, it's something that gets read at a funeral talking about the person who's passed away. So this is, generally speaking, when people read a eulogy, this is what they remember about you or how you're going to be celebrated. So, I mean, the sobering thought is more than likely something is going to be said about you when your time is done. Chances are, right? The question is, if you had to write a eulogy, what would you like to be said about you? If you could write your own eulogy, what would you say? What would you say, "This is my legacy. This is what I'm hoping to leave behind"? Because here's the problem with this. I think it's really hard for us, and this is a United States thing, but it's really hard for us to think into the future, because as a culture, I think it's really hard for us to get past today. Everything we have, you guys, is instant. Think about this. We live in an instant society, and I've been struck at the nature of this series, because the series is seeds. Jesus was had all these agricultural parables because that was the society that he was talking to. Farmers, agricultural people. But sometimes that gets lost in us, because you think about everything we've been talking about, and I made a list of all the stuff from our messages. Seeds growing in the ground, planting, watering, nurturing, time, fruit, all of that is hard for us because high-speed internet, fast food, Amazon Prime, right? Now listen, this is not an anti-technology rant. I'm not that guy at all, but listen, some of y'all, I'm just going to say it, you have no idea how hard it was to earn a personal pan pizza by reading four books. Yes. Let's just get that out of the way. Speaking of books, let's just go here for a second. Who remembers book fairs? Yeah. Some of you guys have no idea what I'm talking about. It's like, was Ferris Bueller there? Yes, he was there. He's the one who started book fairs. I want to tell you what book fairs were, because this was a defining moment of my childhood. This is what you would do. You would walk around a library or a gym, and there'd be a whole bunch of books set up, and you would go and you'd say, I want this one and this one, and you would want all the books. This is what happened to me. You would want all the books. And then you would have an order form that was probably in your Trapper Keeper. So you get out the Trapper Keeper, rip, that's Velcro, and then you fill out the order form from Scholastic, because your mom probably gave you permission for one book. In my case, I had to choose between Choose Your Own Adventure and Hardy Boys. Amen? And then you had to wait 2 to 3 months to get the book. You forgot about the book every single time. I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. Nowadays, everything is immediate. Everything is instant, right? So consequently, we're living in this world of today and not thinking about what I invest in today is going to affect my tomorrow. So let me show you something that Jesus says about perspective on tomorrow. This is really interesting. John chapter 15, he says this. He says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And then we're going to skip down to verse 16, and he's going to say, oh yeah, one more thing about your fruit. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Listen to this. Fruit that will last. Fruit that will last. 10, 20, 30, 50, 100 years down the road, what you invest in today can outlive you. Have you heard about the century plant? Has anybody ever seen one of these? I had not until several weeks ago. For the Latin lovers among us, probably one person, Agave Americana is the proper name. And this is a succulent that's native to Mexico. And it actually, the name is a little bit misleading because it doesn't take 100 years to bloom. It flowers usually after about 10 to 30 years, depending on your growing conditions. But still, think about that. 10 to 30 years after being planted, 30 years, you're putting seeds in the ground that you won't see bloomed for 30 years. What will you care about 30 years from now? What will matter to you 30 years from now? I'll be 70-something. What will matter to me 30 years from now? Because here's the truth. Everybody leaves a legacy. It's just a matter of what kind you're going to leave. So I want this to be really practical. I want to give you some principles today to live a legacy life because it's important. So, of course, we're going to do three practical things to close this series because tomorrow starts today. The person you will be in 5 years starts Sunday, November 17th. That's today. Number one. You have to see it. You have to see it. The first thing you have to do is you have to see it. I realized this for myself a few years ago when I read this book from Simon Sinek called Start With Why. And immediately, because in the last, here's a spoiler for the book, he tells you about, think about your why. So at the end of the book, I was like, okay, I need to know what my why is. And I totally ripped off my why from another speaker. But here's my why. My why comes down to an arrow. My why, and I love this, is taking people, individuals, and teams from here to there. From here, where they are, to there, which is their preferred tomorrow. And the trick is getting people to understand why they can't stay here. Because if you don't know why you can't stay here, you're not going to be motivated to go there. Love that. Love that. Love that. But this year, just a few months ago, at the Global Leadership Summit, plug for the GLS, if you've never been, I've been to this thing for the last like 15 years. It is so worth your time. So at the Global Leadership Summit conference this year, there was a guy there named Craig Groeschel. He was giving this opening talk. And this talk was not what I expected. He was talking to the people and he said, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you, anybody see that? That was nice. Hopefully you got that on camera. He says, I'm gonna give you permission to obsess, which is so contrary to everything else I've been reading. It was just like, hey, chill, take your time. And he's like, no. You need to obsess about a few things in your organization. And I'm giving you permission. I was like, wow, okay. And he says, here's how you do it. He says, you need to think about what is your whale? What is your wholehearted, all-encompassing life endeavor? And so I was right back there. I was at this table, and here's what I did. I scooted my chair away from the table, and I had my notes there, and I just took a second, and I said, all right, God, what is it? What is my whale? And I mean, I can tell you, like, I felt nervous even praying that. I was like, what is my whale? And in that moment, I mean, like, God doesn't always speak to me this way, but in that moment, I knew it was him because I felt he gave me three words. And I felt the emotion, I felt the weight, and I felt the momentum of that. And after those three words were spoken, I knew what my whale was, and I knew how I would be taking people from here to there. Do you want to know what those three words were? Come back next week. And I'm just kidding. Coach, speaker, author. And when I heard those three words, I was like, yes, that's what it is. That's what it is. So from that point, those three words have filtered everything I do. Those three words have filtered what I say yes to. Those three words have filtered what I say no to. And my no has grown because of those three words. And I'm so excited. So that's what I'm talking about when I say you have to see it. So since the GLS, I heard another speaker say this, and this prayer has been living like rent-free in my head for the last months. People cannot be what they cannot see. Lord, help me see. People cannot be what they cannot see. Lord, help me see. If you get nothing else from this talk today, if you write nothing else down, write this down and ask God, God, I don't remember anything that guy said, but I'm going to ask you, what is my legacy? What is my wholehearted, all-encompassing life endeavor? What is it that you want me to plant that will not bloom for 30 years? Lord, help me see. So number one, you have to see it. Number two, change your mindset. So once you see it, this is going to change your mindset. It's going to change your behavior. It's going to change what you say yes and what you say no to. So let me show you the difference between what I'm going to call a right now mindset and a legacy mindset. So right now says, my focus is how culture defines success. So this is the whole thing about he who dies with the most toys wins, that whole thing. Now let me say, nothing wrong with going after that. Nothing wrong with enjoying the things of this life. But if that's your sole focus, I might push you in the other direction of legacy. Another right now mindset, I'm so focused on today, I can't think about my legacy. I totally get it. That's what I was talking about before. We're busy. But let me tell you this. Whether you think about it or not, your legacy is going to happen. Next one, I react to what happens instead of creating intentional moments. This came up in our small group earlier, several weeks ago, and we were talking about this temptation, like, okay, we know that we're supposed to be planting seeds and being salt and light and give a reason for the hope, but man, it just feels so hard because, you know, I'm not seeing growth, I'm not seeing anything watered, and I'm not seeing a return. And I love what our small group came up with. Our small group came up with this idea, you know what, we're gonna do it anyway. We're gonna keep sowing seeds anyway. We're gonna keep being salt. We're gonna keep being light to this world that absolutely needs it. Even if we don't see this plant, it's not gonna bloom for 30 years, we're gonna keep sowing seed. We're gonna do it anyway. I assume it'll just happen. Let me tell you this, legacy work, I have this term that I've been playing around with, lazy legacy. That's totally a thing. Because you can leave a lazy legacy. Your eulogy, these are the things that you're proud of. These are the things that you want people to remember about you. It's super intentional. And then maybe the last one, there'll be plenty of time later. You ever said this to yourself? Like, well, I want to give to that one day when I make more money, or I want to help him, but I just don't have time. Guess what? Tomorrow starts today. What would you have to do to put yourself in a space where you do have more time or where you could give to that? Because I'm a firm believer in, like, I don't want to be a victim of my own life. Like, well, I want to help you, but I don't have time. It's just like, well, who's creating your calendar? Shoot, I am. So, right now mindset. So legacy mindset, I'm aiming at how the Bible defines success. I felt a little weird putting this on there because the Bible doesn't, it doesn't use the word success, it uses the word fruit. And so when I think about this, I'm thinking about like, okay, Jesus honoring fruit, God honoring fruit. What is it that when I get done with this whole thing, I really want God to say, man, Tyler, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Those are the things that I'm going after. And the way I'm going to do that is I'm not going to wait. I'm thinking about my legacy now. I'm starting today. Whether I'm 7 years old or whether I'm 70 years old, I'm starting today. I'm not waiting for tomorrow because tomorrow starts good, today. I partner with God. This is kind of the overall. I plant seeds and trust him to make it grow. Okay, so this third one, I want to be even more practical as I close this series. So number one, you have to see it. Lord, help me see. Number two, you have to change your mindset. And number three, your legacy is the fruit that remains. This has been, I've had kind of a hard time with this message because it's been stirring in me a while, and it's just like, how do you, it's like this tension thing that I've been trying to get out. It's like, how do you make this real? And so I just thought about all of you. I thought about all the different walks of life and history and context we have. And everything that we've shared in this series for the last 6 weeks about soil and the power of the heart and the investment in the Word of God and Jesus, and I actually wrote all this stuff down because this is stuff that we've been saying for the last weeks, the new seeds that comes into our life, everything about this series, everything that I'm sharing with you today, I want to tell you this. It's all going to be worth it if one young person listening to me today says, I don't have to wait till I'm 40 to think about my legacy. If one young person today listening to me is like, oh, this is what he was talking about. The person I'm dating right now is going to affect my marriage, that is going to affect my children's children. Oh, okay, so maybe this guy that I'm with is not the right choice for me to think about marriage 10 years down the road, so maybe I'm going to make a different decision today. For every empty nester listening to me, maybe you realize that wherever you're all on this journey, it's not too late. That's what I love about spiritual family is it extends beyond your natural children. And I just want to speak to that for a second because we have such a need in our community for spiritual moms and dads. Take it from me, YouTube generation personified right here. If I don't know something, I'm going to look it up. I'm going to Google it. I'm going to use AI to see if I can figure it out. But recently, I've had the enormous privilege to have a couple of older folks in my life, seasoned, where I can just say, hey, Mike, I don't know what I'm doing in this. People think I do. And he's like, you know what? Let's chat. And that has been such, I didn't know that I was missing that until I had that. And so if that is you, consider using your gift here because it is something that we desperately, desperately need. If you're a business leader in our church today, and maybe you've got an open door in front of you, maybe you have this opportunity and you're coming to the spot where you've got all these things coming in and you realize that with every yes and every no, you're changing the trajectory of your legacy, right? Maybe you have an opportunity in front of you to make triple what you make now, but you realize, oh shoot, they're asking me to travel 300 days a year and I have these three little seeds at home. So every open door might not be a God door. And you say, you know what? I'm gonna shift my priorities for my legacy. Yes, I could make triple what I'm gonna make, but gosh, I've got these three kids at home that need their person. Or maybe there's a young mom listening to me. And maybe you've got your phone and you're looking at all these influencers on Instagram and TikTok, and you look around your living room with your sippy cups and the diapers and the animal crackers, and you wonder, what am I doing? I want to tell you what you're doing. You are investing the most important seed that you possibly can. And you probably don't hear this enough, but I want to say thank you for what you are doing. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, I am a big fan of doing dumb things with a large group of people. So this is what we're going to do. As we close this series on seeds and realizing that tomorrow starts today and we're thinking about legacy, here's something I want us all to remember. Legacy is the story about you, yet to be written, in which you hold the pencil. I'm going to read that again. Legacy is the story about you, yet to be written, in which you hold the pencil. So now I will tell you, we've spared no expense this morning. You all have a freshly sharpened, brand new number 2 pencil. So grab that if you would, and hold it like you're going to write something. And hold that thing up. Because you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take a picture of you. Hold those up. Oh, look at you beautiful people. This is not an advertisement for a brand because those are brandless. Beautiful. That may be posted on social media. What does it feel like to be holding the pencil right now? What could you write? What could you draw? Let's do this. Put the pencil down for a second. Remember how it felt to hold the pencil? What does it feel like now that you don't have the pencil anymore? So many of us live our lives with this feeling right now. But now pick up the pencil again. This is the feeling I want you to remember. Because legacy is the story about you yet to be written, and you're holding the pencil. Today you have a choice, friends. God wants to partner with you to build this legacy, but you have an active role. You hold the pencil to your story, so my only question, my final question is, what are you going to write? JR is going to pray for us.